We are up to now the pay ches of base in the bottom. Not exactly. This is a basel. It's a fixed asset. This is whatever the value is at the time when you get divorced. Okay, basically what we're up to in the Gemara over here, the peches of base in the bottom of the page, where the mother decided to give herself a life tenancy, or to give her son the property, and her husband decided. Actually, that's not a legal term. They all told me it's a different legal term. Or a factor or something, or a practor or something. This is not a legal term. This is a normal English. There's a legal term for it. And they looked at Steinsalt and actually had the legal term. Or a factor or something, or a corrector. And there were two lawyers there, and they said, yes, that's what it's called. And they were very impressed with Steinsalt's Gemara that they knew. Anyway. Is there anything you care about? Anything?
Yeah,
it was exactly. Anyway, bottom line is that the machlekes of Yimia Bar Abba, who ruled that it's a valid transfer. Okay, come on, let's learn. This itself is a waste of time. So it's a valid transfer, and Shmuel, if Yehuda's the name of Shmuel, that's not a valid transfer. And we concluded the reason is because of Takana Susha, which basically strengthened the husband's because of Shalom Bayis. They wanted to make sure that the husband feels that he's not going to be work so hard, and then she just gives it away to somebody else. So therefore, he is the first sale. If she dies, he gets it. That's where we're up to. What is off to do with our Gemara here? Because we, in our Mishnah, said that if you encounter a woman, it could be bad news. Because if you cause her damage, you got to pay her out. If she causes you damage, she pays you nothing until she gets divorced and she gets some kind of a property. Okay, so now we're going to talk about that. Why can't she pay when she is married? Says the Gemara. Oh, but Avidi Barovin, two lines about it. But Avidi Barovin said, Af anan namitanina. We also learned meidim onu biish ploini. We also learned that if somebody testifies about this particular person, shegila shezista, two einu come in and said that Yankel divorced Leah, the nosan ksuvasa, and plus they declared that he paid her out ksuva, said she no longer has any claims on ksuva, and it turned out to be that they were liars. Varei tachta. Now, if Shitaka was divorced, and all they said, well, they received a ksuba, it turned out to be that they were liars, they would have to pay her out the full ksuba, because they wanted to make her lose the $200, so they got to pay her out. Here what happened was, they said that she was, they said she was divorced, and that itself was a lie as well. She was not divorced. So what did they actually want to make her lose? The harei yitachta, and they're still married together. So they're really married, and they wanted to make her get divorced and to lose a ksuva. How much do they really want to make her lose? Is there a fact that she'll get a ksuva one day? Who knows? There's so many probabilities, variables. Mashal. If her husband dies before her, she gets a ksuva. But if she dies before her husband, what happens? No ksuva. She gets divorced, she gets a ksuva. So there's a one-third possibility there's no ksuva, two-thirds possibility there's a ksuva. So if she would go out there and sell this ksuva in the marketplace, she'll never get a $200. Maybe not even $100, because it's a big risk. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
They were aiming for the lot in case she's entitled.
She's not entitled. They only have to pay her what she lost. At this stage, only she would have lost is if she could have sold it. And if she would have sold it, she would never have gotten the full money. Nobody, no idiot would pay $200 for a $200 risk. At the end of the day, if you win, all you get is $200. They'll pay a lot less, maybe $50. That's all they try to make her lose, and that's what they pay her. And they're living together and they're serving together. The nimtzus, I mean, they're liars. We don't say you pay out the entire ksuva. So they only pay the tevas hanor, the hanor that she could have sold the ksuva, and how much money she would have gotten. And the lekech only has a possible chance of getting anything from it. Okay. How do you work out what this teva no is? We assess. How much would a person be willing to pay for such a ksuva? And look at the chances. If she became a widow, husband predeceased her, or she was divorced, then she obtains a ksuva. However, but if she dies, the husband gets a ksuva. And if she dies, the husband gets a ksuba. And her sale would not be a good sale. So clearly we see from here, takana zusha, because it's not for takana zusha, so what if the husband, so what? Eventually the sale will be a valid sale. As we like Yemar Abba Paskin before, is that either have takana zusha. So we see that there's a chance that that the lekeach will get something, could get nothing. But if you can tell me less than takana zusha, I'm using this as an ayah that we all agree with takana zusha. That what if he makes a sale, the sale is not valid, the husband takes over. Because if you're going to tell me that we don't agree with takana zusha and that the sale was a valid sale, so then it's 100% good this ksuba. She can sell the ksuba and get $200 for it. Because no matter what happens, that lekeach will end up with it. No matter what happens. Even if she died before the husband, if she sold it before, so what? It still goes to this lekeach. Takana zusha was that even though according to halacha, the husband only has kinyan peidus, he only has access to the field. And halacha is like the shlokish, a kinyan peidus. Lav ki kinyan haguftam, it doesn't mean he owns it. So the wife who owns the property can sell it. As long but the property does not get transferred as long as she's alive. But once she's dead, the property gets transferred. Comes the Kanzusha says, no, that we're going to, promote the husband's rights to this. That even though generally Kenya paid Lavkin Goof, in this case it will be. Because we want him to work with a zest and work with enthusiasm and on the wise field. Otherwise, he'll let it go fallow. Because if you believe there's no Takana Zusha. Yep. But as a result of this, her sale price, this is the price saying it, that it could be that's not a sale. Could be it's not a sale because if the husband, if she dies, the husband takes over the field. He is the first lekech. Amayish and the baila, why would the husband take over? Tazmik of Oslagamila Salat. So that's a raya. We support Konzusha. Omar Abaya Bai said, doesn't prove anything. Who told you? Doesn't do nichli malug. Not do nichli malug. That's to do with her earnings. This is at the kind of the ksuba. Omer Abaye said, "Im amru." If we say benichse malug, nichse malug is two kinds of assets that a woman has. Nichse malug and nichse barzel. Malug is malug. It really means to pluck. That you plucked the hairs out of a chicken. Nichse malug is a property that she brings into the estate. It's her property, but the husband takes care of it. But we want to give him an incentive to take care of it so that he gets the produce. And when they divorce or whatever it is, he gives it back. Whatever it's worth, it's worth. But he worked at it all those years because he got an incentive. He had the produce. That's nichse malug. Nichse tzem barzel is you record it in the ksuva. You fix up. She brings assets in and you fix a price. This field is worth $500. That's it. And now the field is completely the husband's. Because if it goes up in value, down in value, whose gain or whose loss is it? The husband's. When they divorce, she gets back $500. Doesn't matter if it's worth not $25,000. She gets $500. If the field's worth $100, she gets $500. So who owns the field then? Definitely not her. What does she own? She only owns the $500. It's the husband's. So there's a buyer. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Says the Gemara, says Abaye, Im Amru, your word would make sense, Benichse Meloik, Benichse Meloik. Of the Yemru, Benichse Tzem Bazel. No, maybe there's no Takana Zusha, and Shitaka could sell Nichse Meloik, but Bryce is talking about Nichse Tzem Bazel. That we're talking about that the Edim tried to make her lose also Nichse Tzem Bazel, and that she cannot sell because who owns the field? The husband. So therefore, yeah. So that ends the matter. There's no ray from there to the Takana Zusha. Maybe the reason why she doesn't get the full compensation for the ksuva is because the nichse tzem barzel that she cannot sell. Then we'll write. We're digressing now. A woman can sell her ksuva for a certain amount of money. The ksuva is worth $200. You can sell, let's say, for $50 because the guy's taking a risk. Maybe he'll get something, he won't get something. That's called Toivas Ano. Who owns that money that she gets? Name of a milsa, Toivas Ano, Ishava. That $50 she gets, those are totally hers. Because Isaac Datsan Labal Habe. Because if you can tell me that this $50 goes to the husband, lemer le'edim, so then the edim would turn to the wife and say, okay, we're edim zaymin. Fine. We said you received the ksuva already, and what are you telling us? That you could have sold it. So what if you would have sold it? Who would have gotten the money? Who would have received the money that if you would have sold it? The husband anyway. So what did you get hurt from this? You lost nothing. Nothing. In fact, we helped the husband out. So what? So why are we paying anything? my avsadinok, what do you cause you any loss? I have him mezabin lo, even if you would have sold the ksuvil, a toivus anok, for toivus anok, bal havi shokel minok. Your husband would have taken away anyway. You would have got nothing, so therefore you lost nothing. We made up a story, we concocted a story that you were divorced and you lost and you already got your ksuvil. What did you lose? Right now you're married. Okay, so we lied about the marriage. But the ksuva part, we lost nothing. Because since you're married, what did you lose the ksuva? You could have sold it. And no matter how much money you would have received, who would have gotten the money? The husband. So what did you lose? Nothing. So therefore, we owe you nothing. It's a raya that the money goes to her. Omer of Solomon. Here you have a Solomon. Or Shalman or Solomon. Sorry? Maybe yeah, maybe no. Shalman. Sounds like Shlomo, Shalman. Meshum the ikar ravach beisar. Rav Salman said, no. Maybe the money goes to husband, but you know what she lost out? If she would have sold the ksuva, some more money would have come into the household. That she would have, the husband would have been able to hire her maids to help out clean the house, and now she can't. So she lost also, because the husband is a good husband, and any money he gets, he spends on her or on the house. So no raya. Maybe she doesn't get the money. Amar says, Rav, I don't care what Rav Salman said. The teves goes to the wife. The ain habal oichel peders, and you don't say, let's take that money, invest it, and the husband gets the dividends. By timer, because peder to give the bond said direct dividends from her field she brings in. Fine, but peder the peder. This is like peder the peder. This is the ksuva that she sold, and then the money you take. So this is already peders, dividends of money, and you take that money, invest it, and then the dividends of that. That's called dividends of dividends. That far we don't go. Like the kinyan rabbanon, we don't give that. As much as we want shalom bayis, the husband doesn't expect to get that. Yeah, but that's the Shavuos Aveda.
Yeah,
but Mitzi will have it. That Gemara said he was a chassid. He went out of his way. Yeah, but he didn't have to. He was a Fimshus Adin. Says he went to Baite. When a papa and Rav came from Yeshiva, Amri, they said, Tanina le Takana Susha. So we're having a little stickle argument here. Abaye said he have no proof that Takana Susha was accepted, even though there was a Takana. Who said it was accepted? We brought a Bryce on top, and he says, no, right from there, because maybe the problem was Nichse Malug, but Nichse Tzern Barzel. So therefore comes along, however, Rav Papa Rav Yeshua, and they come along and they say, these are Rovas Talmid, the next generation, that we have a riot to Takana Susha. It says in our Mishnah right here, and this is the lead up, took an omid and a half to get back to the point of our Mishnah here. What does our Mishnah say? Meeting a cheder, shaita, vekotin, and an isha is bad news. Because when you cause them damage, you're fully responsible. If they cause damage, or isha and evid, they're not responsible, they can't pay you. They got nothing. The evid has nothing. And only when they get when he gets emancipated, or when she gets divorced, and she has some money, she has to pay. Now, why do you have to wait until she gets divorced? Let her sell the ksuva, and the money of the ksuva, since we just established, goes to her. Let her use that money to pay up to her nizikin. Why do we let her get away scot-free? Freddy Gemara, yeah. It says, now, Mishnah, the Eved, Visha, Pigios, and other bad news. You cause them damage, chayv. Or the heim, shechovla, vachayv, they cause damage to other, the potter. If you tell me there's no Takanah, which means that a woman can sell the property, if the woman has, let's say, Nichsim Aloy, she can sell the Nichsim Aloy, why don't we force her to sell the Nichsim Aloy back to the, and the money, give it to the Nizik? Let her sell it because of valid sale. Because when she die, okay, you won't get the full value of the property, you get something. But if she dies, the property will go to that leker that she sold to, and the husband has no rights. The only possible explanation is because Takanas Usha kicks in, which says the husband gets the property. So what's the point of selling it? Nobody's going to buy it because he can't get it. That's the raya. Let's say you're right. The Kanadush applies, so she cannot sell the Nichse Malay because the husband will get it. Or Betazman is a little bit. Why can't she sell the Nichse Malay Betavasana? Betitanlay. Okay, she cannot sell the property, but let her sell the Nichse Malay Tavasana. The guy can has some benefit from it in case the husband dies first or something. If the husband dies first, what happens? She gets it. So there's some value in the field. The field's worth $1,000. She'll get $100 for it. Force her to sell, too bad, and pay back the...
Hello, but... If the husband's an old man, he's not very well, then he's got a good chance of having...
Pay more money for it. Exactly. Why don't you force her? You only one passive conclusion. Ella de Lesla. We'd have no rachmanis in her and say, oh, why should she lose? It feels worth 1,000, now she only get 100 for it. Too bad. Who asked you to cause damage? No, boss, you can answer me. Do you know why we don't force her to sell the field? Tevis Hanar de Lesla. She don't have it. We're talking about a case where there are no nixim aloy. No, if there are no nixim aloy, what did I use about the Konzusha? There is no field, so therefore we don't do the Konzusha. The reason why she doesn't sell the field or whatever it is, because there she doesn't have any. Very good. The Tazmik Subasa. Okay, there's no nixim aloy. Let her sell the ksuva b'tevis Hanar b'titinle. Let her sell the ksuva to somebody. And that ksuva, okay, they're worth $200, but she won't get $200 for it. She only gets, say, $50 for it because there's choices. The only time they collect is if the husband predeceases her or if there's a divorce. But if she predeceases the husband, they get nothing. So there's a risk involved. So they'll pay maybe, let's say, $50. Let her force sell the get $50, like ksuva, $50, and use the $50 to pay the nezik. Pay something. Why does he have to wait for chesed? How long? For years and years. But Hamani that made it must conclude this follows a maid. If she sells a ksuba, means she has no ksuba anymore. How can she live together with a husband? The din is that we hold like a mayor that says that you cannot live with your husband and wife cannot live together for one instant if they don't have a ksuba. And if you lose your ksuba, you have to immediately write a shtar d'ichsa. He must give her a mashkin or watch or something until they write a shtar d'ichsa. And the reason is we don't want that she should feel uncomfortable that at a whim he can just throw her out of the house. There's a whole discussion of the Poskim why today that law didn't change, since Rabbeinu Geisha says you cannot, at a whim, just throw it out. So she has that security. What do you need? Everyone agrees, doesn't change. The same rule applies today. So you want to tzaddik. The time of my, most like this. So you tell me, why can't you sell the ksuvah? Because you're not allowed to live a minute without ksuvah. So I don't understand. If you're worried that he'll throw her out willy-nilly, then even if she did not sell the ksuva, he could throw her willy-nilly. Why? Let's say he caused damage to... Let's see a second. The time of my kidesh lo te kala be'ein of loitzia, shouldn't it be easy to throw out? Over here, he won't divorce her. Could he megadish lo osa hanazovni govlok sezofenei? Why would he... Over here, he's definitely not going to divorce her. No, the ksuva is worthless. What are they hoping? They're hoping that he'll divorce her, she'll get a ksuva, and they'll collect. He's not going to divorce her, because if he divorces her, these people are going to come and collect the ksuva, so why should he divorce her? What does he gain by divorcing her? So even though she sold the ksuva, he's not going to throw her out, because the moment he throws her out, he has to pay out. So what's the chilek if he pays her out or pays them out? So therefore, over here, it's people do get divorced. But people divorce regardless. We're talking about that it's a stabilizing factor. Paying out money is a stabilizing factor. But we're talking to Jews now. So therefore, he's saying over here that the stabilizing factor exists. Even according to the mayor, you're saying it'll be easy to throw out. Here, it's not easy to throw out, because even though she'll sell the ksuva, he's not going to throw her out, because you'll have to pay them out. It's a chiluk, who pays out. So he won't willy-nilly just throw her out. Ella Tovis Ano Milininu. Yeah, Ella Tovis Ano Milininu Milile Mishabda. The Tovis Ano is really only words. And words are not Mishubit. You know why she doesn't have to sell? So the question is, why Taka doesn't she sell? Why doesn't she sell? Force her to sell. She'll get $50. The husband's not going to throw her out. And she'll pay something to the Nizik. Something. A modicum of whatever it is. The reason is, you know why? Because we can't. There's only a debt to the wife. She doesn't own it. She doesn't own the ksuva. She has. This is a charge that one day she can use it to collect. Like a voucher. So a voucher's. There's no connection between the voucher and the Nizik. You cannot force her to exercise a voucher. It's not an asset that she actually owns. This Tevis Ano, the fact that she has the capacity to sell and make some money is only mili, is only like a voucher, only words. Mili mishtabdi, and these words are not meshubah to the nizik. Says the Gemara, Allah Malai, what do you mean it's not meshubah? Mili de mizdabdi bedino. This is not stam a voucher. You can sell it in the marketplace. We just said you can go in the marketplace and sell it. So obviously it has value, this Tevis Ano. It's not just an IOU. This is real. So if it's real, why can't you then force her to give it to the Nizik? Elamushim de Shmuel. You know why you can't force her to give it to the Nizik? Because you achieve nothing. What do you mean you achieve nothing? Because we already had this in Kedushin. No, Shmuel said, Hamoyche shtar choyv lechaveda. If somebody sells a shtar choyv to his chaved, Let's say Reuven owes $100 to Shimon, and Shimon sells that contract to Levi. Shimon could turn around and be Meichel Reuven. Reuven, what? Don't, you don't have the money anymore. And Levi's left with nothing. Then there's a machlekes in the Gemara there, whether if doyin dina de gami, according to the mayor, doyin dina de gami, Shimon just cost 100% he can. I'll explain to him in a word. There's a machlekes in the Gemara there, and we'll have later about Matzia, where the mayor says doyin dina de gami, that Shimon now has to reimburse Levi because he sold a contract and then he caused him damage. And halach like a mayor. But there's a machlekes that bein time in the Rashbam and other Rishonim, how much you actually have to pay. The amount that you paid, or the amount, the face value of this contract, because he paid for the contract. Let's say $200 contract. He only paid $100 because he can't collect another 3 years. How much? The full $200 that's face value, or the $100 loss that he caused Levi? That's another machlekes. Anyway, so he's saying of it now. What's the swara? It's too much. The machlekes is a main time. But he says, you know why? Because mechidah shtar is rabbon. Ma'atayda, you cannot sell a shtar. It's only words. There's nothing tangible here. So Levi owns the shtar with the rabbon. But ma'atayda, Reuven doesn't owe a cent to Levi. Reuven owes to Shimon. So Shimon can turn around. We meichel to Reuven. Once he's meichel to Reuven, what's left? How can the rabbon enact a shibud which came from the tayda, and the tayda is very disbanded? However, the main time says a beautiful pshat. The main time says in Ksuvah Peivav, he says like this: every time there's a loan, there's two shibudim. You personally owe me money, and then your assets, and it devolves on your assets. I cannot sell your personal loan. Shibud haguf is not something tangible. What can I sell? The lien on the assets, shibud nechasim. So what can? So the Shimon sold to Levi, the shibud nechasim. When Shimon turns around to Reuven and says, "But the shibud haguf is to who? Who are you personally in obligated to pay? To Shimon." So Shimon therefore said, "I'm meichel shibud haguf," and it's a sibum mesubim. Once there's no shibud haguf, what's left? There's no shibud nechasim either. So therefore, there's nothing left for Levi. So what's the point of forcing this woman to give the ksuva to sell the ksuva and then use the money to give the nizig? Nobody's going to buy it because they know that she could turn around tomorrow and be meichel her husband from paying any money. The husband owes her money. She owes money to the lekech. She'll be meichel because she never wanted to sell the ksuva. She was forced into it. So therefore, it's not valid. So why doesn't we sell and give it to him? She will turn around to the husband and be meichel the husband, they owe nothing, and therefore the buyer ends up with nothing. So who would buy it? So the Gemara that the gabe the baal herself, she will definitely be meichel. We don't want to encourage her to go ahead. We're sort of encouraging her to go ahead and ruin this buyer's life, make it miserable, because we're forcing her to do something she doesn't want to do. And what she can do then, obviously, and she loves her husband, so she's going to go and be meichel. Why should we put the buyer in such a predicament? So therefore, we don't do it. Okay, let's not introduce a buyer here. Let's force her to sell the ksuva to the nizik. To the nizik directly. Give the whatever the value of the ksuva is, let's say $50, give the ksuva to the nizik. Here. And say, let's say the ksuva is worth $50. Don't introduce a third party here, a new guy, and sell it to him because you're going to make like miserable, but give it back to the nizik. Because what's the worst thing going to happen? She'll be Michael's husband. The nizik is no worse off. if she didn't give the ksuvah to the nizik, the nizik has nothing. Now that we gave the ksuvah to the nizik, there's a possibility that she won't be Michael and he'll end up with something. And maybe she will be Michael and have nothing. So he's no worse off than he started. The Michael got bebal kamafsid. Even if she's Michael, the nizik is no worse off. The hashlan amila midika yavalei safe. Anyway, in our Mishnah, we said that he gets nothing. He's no worse off. Says Gemara, no. Safe. We are so convinced that she will be meichel because she was forced into it. We don't want to waste the bezdin's time on going through a motion. That's a waste of time. We know that she's going to be meichel ksuva. Why shouldn't she be meichel ksuva? Why should she force the husband to do it? Why? She loves the husband. She wants the husband to end up with the ksuva. Why give it to a nizik? She called him out. She did some mistakes. So she has to live with the mistakes. Why should her husband suffer? We're talking about a happy marriage. The whole story was above myself. I mean, there's no story, but she loves her husband. She just made a mistake. She was mazik. So Saif, call the gabi baal vade mochli. Since it affects her husband, she definitely will make her husband. We are not going to waste Bezin's time for nothing. Bezin's time is precious, and we had a concept, and we'll have a concept of Basa, Zilusa de Beidina. We don't want to make a mockery out of Bezin. Says the Gemara, Ella, Hodatanya, we learned in Ebraisa. Okay, that explains an Izik. What about if she damaged her own husband? It says the same thing. It says in Ebraisa, she caused her husband damage. Now she owes her husband money. Let's say $50 for damage. Lo yiksiv the ksuvasa. She does not lose the ksuva. Amai tizavnenu nelu ksuvasa lebaila. Let her give the get to ksuva. What are you always worried about? Shuli meichel husband. At the end of the day, who cares? It's her husband who gets the, who you give the ksuva to now. If you're meichel, then original money goes in his pocket. If you're not meichel, the new money will go into his pocket. This way, I think she paid something to the husband. Why? At least her husband, do we say she's also exempt, exonerated from paying until she's divorced? B'tevas hanah chabala. Why don't we make her give the husband the ksuva, the value of the tevas hanah for the damage that she caused? For the imachul gab about even she's meichel gab the husband like a pseide doesn't allow because the husband definitely won. So you must say, you know why? Because if she gives it back to the husband, she's living now without a ksuva. And havada rameya, this is the problem with rameya. The amar osir lo adam she yishes ishta filosho avlaksuva. That the husband is now, a woman is now living with the husband without a ksuva, and here the husband, she has no ksuva anymore. She gave it back to the husband, and willy nilly he can just throw it out, and he doesn't have to pay her now because he's paying himself. So therefore, what she has no safeguards anymore. We can't allow that. The time of my kadesh loy take kalben. Let's see. The whole reason why is he should be willing to throw it out. Over here, he will divorce her, and the money that he has to give her for the ksuva, he'll take it right back as damages. So therefore, she has no longer any safeguard, any protection, and that's why we can't allow this. We need to keep retain the ksuva in place. If you're worried the husband will throw her out, even, let's say she caused him damage, a certain amount of money, even if she does not give him back the ksuva, he has an incentive to divorce her now because he'll get paid out for the damage. So he'll pay her out the ksuva, but he'll get back the money for the damage. So what protection does she have? If you're worried about her security of staying married, has to nami migadosh now also divorce her. The gobble bechablovene, and he will collect the what do you say? He won't divorce her, he has to pay her the ksuva, but he'll get it right back because she owes him money for the chabala. So the money, you know what we're talking about here. The ksuva is worth a lot more than the chabala. It doesn't make sense. No business person is going to spend $200 to make $50. So why would he divorce her to collect the money of the chabala when it cost him a lot more? So therefore, she has a safeguard. She has a protection. But if she gives him the ksuva, it's protection. It doesn't make sense to make a few dollars. He's going to lose a lot of money. And if, let's say, there's a thing called ksuva, then there's a sefes ksuva, which means that you can add, by the Sfarim today, they add a lot of layers in ksuva, you know, in addition to the $200, give you this, we'll give you that, we'll give you this, you add a whole bunch of things, that's called sefes ksuva. The Sfarim do it today. They do? Well, sounds like the Sfarim is mini creeping in. So if she has a taisa ksuva, let's force her to give that to the husband. She retains the original ksuva, so she has the protection, the safeguard. Oh, because according to Shimon Gamliel, ksuva is the raisa. I made whole ksuva is the rabbanon. So why call ksuva the loch I made? But because we learn from a pasuk kimoyer hapsulis, it's a an asmachta kimoyer hapsulis. So therefore, we call ksuva the raisa. The rabbanon. The eid and the fish ksuva make ksuva the raisa. And if you can tell me that the ksuva is what greater than ksuva the raisa, if she has an extra ksuva over and above the $200 a moyer hapsulis, she has an extra ksuva. Let us force her to give that to the husband. Nukme ksuva the raisa. Let's put that ksuva the raisa. The idach to zavnenela bechavle, and the rest let her sell chabala. So let's keep it $200, so she has a protection, and then force her to sell the rest. Going to learn it. Fishik suva so miksuva the raisa. Talking about a case where she doesn't have that much extra. The have chabla abba zuze. The chabala was equivalent of 4 zuze. 25 a man is 100 dinner, which is 25 zuzim or 25 slime. It says zuzim is slime. 25 slime. And this is 4 slime, so therefore it's quite substantial. When we say that you're not going to spend money to make money, we don't only mean if it's going to cost you more than you're going to spend. Even if it costs you less, but if you're not making a decent profit, this is like 4 slime to 25 is almost a sixth. Is therefore you're not going to do that. Why would you spend 5-6 money to get a 6? You're not going to do that. Ella hodetanya, we learned kashem shaloi timkar v'hi tachtav, just like you won't sell. Just like she won't sell while they're married. Kachlik tafsid vihitachtav. So too, that you're not going to give away for a hezek while they're still married. While they're married together, sometimes it comes out he loses out. How? In a case where if the ksuva is greater than the ksuva d'raisa, there is a possibility the ksuva is greater than the ksuva d'raisa. So you can sell that ksuva. So there is a time that you can sell the ksuva. What do you mean? There's no time to sell ksuva. Amar Rava says, Rava, say for us, and you know we're talking about the ksuva has been in dakin. A ksuvah b'nin dakan we had in Gemara ksuvahs was that if you marry a second wife, and let's say you have two wives, one wife is promised different amounts of the ksuvah, and this woman has two children, the other woman has five children. Now the woman who has two children doesn't want that this entire estate of the husband should be divided equally amongst all seven children, then her two children will be reduced. So in the ksuvah she writes, you're going to give me $1,000, and that gets divided between my two children. So ksuvahs b'nin dakan, ksuvah for my sons. And the other woman might do the same thing. And let's say the estate is worth $3,000. So each woman gets $1,000. The first $1,000 gets divided between two children. The other $1,000 gets divided between the five children. And the balance, the other $1,000 gets divided amongst the seven children. That's called the ksuvah b'nin dakin. So we're talking about the ksuvah b'nin dakin. So she wants the ksuvah to protect herself, to protect the children. This is what the Braai is saying. Shem sha'amecheret ksuvah l'achedim. Just like somebody who sells a ksuvah to other people. The chiddush is this: if she sells her ksuva to other people, then they get divorced, so those other people collect. Those people collect also the ksuvas benin dakin as well. They collect the thousand. Let's say there's another wife as well. They'll be just like her. They stay in a place and they get the benefit of that $1,000 over and above whatever the balance, which they divide equally. My time Zuzu who done sewer. The only reason why she sold it is because she needed the money. In other words, this lekeach will only get the balance that's divided, but the original $1,000 she put into the ksuva that will pass over to her children, even if she sold the ksuva to Yankel over there, the $1,000 that you record in the ksuva that will end up with your children still end up with your children. That doesn't get sold. She sold it. She didn't sell it willingly. She sold it because she was desperate for money, for whatever reason it was. So therefore goes, so the same thing. Even if she sells the ksuva to her husband, she doesn't forfeit that ksuva, and it still ends up with her, it goes to her children. Yeah. So talking about like this. The lekeach, she sold the ksuva. Then she dies. If she dies, the lekeach gets nothing, right? Who gets the ksuva? The husband. So the husband can argue, you sold the ksuva, that you don't care about the ksuva anymore, or he's benin dakin, or the other wife, the children can claim. You don't no longer have the right of benin dakin because you sold the ksuva, your mother sold the ksuva. She doesn't really care about it. So we say, no. If that lekeach didn't end up collecting, it stayed with the husband, her children end up still with the benin dakin, and only the balance gets sold. The same thing if she would have sold it not to Safremda, but to her own husband, the same thing applies. The benin dakin still remains in place. My time is zuzu de ansur. She didn't really want to sell the ksuvah. The only reason why she sold the ksuvah, she needed the money for whatever reason. And she had no intention of taking away that privilege from her children. Says the Gemara, Lema, let us say, get back to this whole issue of Takonas Usha, Tanoim. Let us say this, Takonas Usha is actually Machlekes Tanoim. That what? To say that the husband has now a chelik in the property, and not only paid us, but Kinya Guf, and that the wife sale. If she dies, the husband takes over, is a Machlekes, whether we implement it or not. What's the story? Tani Chod, we learned in one place, Avdei Meloi. If she, let's say, this her asset, she owned an Eved. Now, the thing is, if you own an Eved, and you knock the gouge's eye out, or you knock out his tooth, he goes free, he sets free. Only if the owner does it, not if a friend does it. So, Yoitzin B'Shen V'Ayin Leach, if the woman does it, he sets it free, because who owns the Eved? The woman owns the Eved. Avaloy Leach, but not the man. The man only has the paydis, and it doesn't own it. So, what does that prove clearly? That there's no Takana Zusha. Takana Zusha said the man owns the estate, not the woman. Vatani lit another braisa. Loyli ish v'loyli isha. Not the man, not the woman. Because neither one owns it 100%. What do you mean the woman doesn't own it? Because the man's rights is not just access. The Kanos Usha says that the man's kinyan paydis is almost tantamount to ownership, but not full ownership. But the woman also has part ownership. So each one prevents the other one from being the full owner, and therefore the Eved does not go free. So the Cheder Savrua, we thought. The Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, Kinyan Paytas, Lav Ki Kinyan Aguf. The husband doesn't have really more than Kinyan Paytas. My Lav, so what's a Machlek? Is Bahaka, Machlek, Mando, Amalisha, only the woman, if she knocks out guys, gouges his eye, he goes free. Less faith, Takana Susha, does not believe in the Susha. The husband knows only Paytas, he has nothing, so the woman owns it outright. The woman says, not the man and not the woman. Neither of them own it outright. Now, why is the woman own it outright? Because the husband, Kinyan Paytas, but Kinyan Paytas goes on me. That's Takana Zusha that promotes his Kinyan Paytas much more than just that he has the exclusive right of use, but he actually has some kind of propriety here. That's how we can explain Machlekes. No. Maybe Kuli Alma Isluhu Takana Zusha. Everyone agrees with Takana Zusha. No, what's pshat here? Ella, kan koydim takana. Here we're talking about the first brayza, talking about before the takana. For the takana, the woman owns it outright. The man only has kinyan paytas, and therefore the woman gouges the eye, he's set free. Of the kan la'achat takana, the other brayza went after takana zusha, which they both own it partially, not fully. So therefore, neither of them set him free. That's one way of learning it. So everyone agrees takana zusha. Iba is another way of learning it. Idi la'achat takana, and also the islahu takana zusha. Everyone agrees takana zusha. So what's the machlekes? So how come the first one says that the wife sets him free? My time, you know, why kid the Rava? Like Rava. What do you mean Rava? Because Rava tells us that even though you've indebted something, you made an apoiteke. Apoiteke means you say apoite hey koi. Now this particular evid is going to be, or whatever it is, this animal, this evid is there's a lien on it to the, I don't just say my assets generally are indebted to this particular lender, but this particular asset, I designate the asset, apoi tehei koi. This is where it's going to be full on. So apoi tehei. Then I turn around and I decide to make it hegdish. That hegdish unravels that indebtedness. So same over here. Takia, she's indebted to the husband. But if she turned around and gouged his eye, that takes away, that's mafkia, the shibba to the husband. So even after Kanazusha, in the first braisa holds like Rava, and vice versa, the second braisa is not agree with Rava. So Gemara is going to ask, that means Rava's din is not unanimous. We'll see in a minute. So he's like, what's Rava? Rava says, Hegdish, if you turn around, make Hegdish, we're talking about Kedusha Laguf, like Rashi says. Takes in other places that argues. But Kedusha Laguf, why? Dafka Kedusha Laguf, because the animal itself now becomes Kedish, so that's mafkia, any indebtedness to the malva, but Kedusha Damim is only the value, so the value does not take away. Does not cancel that indebtedness. Or chametz. If you lend money to a guy and you said this chametz is a mashkin to the guy, but then Pesach came by, Pesach turned it also about no, there's no mashkin left. I think Gemara Pesachim, we had that it's a good payment. That's talking about the Hidin. Gemara the Rava says Hidinu Etzlai, where you actually left the chametz in the guy's house. So therefore, because it's in the guy's house, you've got your responsibilities if it's the guy's. But sitting in the Eid's house, that comes along Pesach, and Yisra no, and it's mafkiyat. Or the shichru, the emancipation of the eved, complete. And this is shichru because you gouged the eye out. It's mafki midei shibud, cancels the shibud. That's a machleik to the braises, whether we follow Rav or not. Fetting more the lema the Rav Tanoi. So what are you telling me? That this din of Rav is not universal, it's machleik Tanoi? So we're like, no. Kuli amish, everyone agrees with the Rav, that what? That when you gouged the eye out, it's mafki the shibud. So how come the second braise says, loy leish v'loy leisha? V'hocha almua rabbanan l'shibud the baal. We made the shibud, we promoted to such an extent that not only that the husband is like a co-owner, but like the husband is like the total owner, and therefore the wife's emancipation is not an emancipation. A loyve can who owns the eved can shachar the eved and cancels the debt to the other person, but a wife, what do you call it? The chachamim promoted the shibud of the baal to such an extent as if the wife usurps the ownership of the baal. Or we buy him in one other way of learning. Kuli alma less lulahani tanoi tekanazusha. Maybe none of these tanoi agree with tekanazusha, and therefore in the first case the woman sets the eved free, and the husband only has kinyan paytas, does not. So what's the second? The brayis who says neither of them can. But hachad this goof in the machlekes abeichlish lakish be kinyan paytas be kinyan goof damik goof. That's a machlekes. First brayis holds that the husband only has kinyan paytas like lishlakish lavki kinyan goof. Therefore she's total owner. And the second braisa says that no, that Kinyan Paytas is Kinyan Haguf, and therefore they both have ownership, and neither of them can set the Eved free. And the Gemara here will say, Pluk Tan Tanoi, that this is what we had before, Machlik Zerich and Shlokish, if Kinyan Paytas is actually Machlik Tanoi, which we'll see tomorrow.